Translation. My dear Vidura, now I am mad for want of the pleasure of seeing him. And just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to Bhadarikashram in the Himalayas for association, as I have been instructed by him. Translation responsibly. My dear Vidura, now I am mad for want of the pleasure of seeing him. And just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to Bhadarikashram in the Himalayas for association, as I have been instructed by him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. and Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord of the standard of Uddhava constantly associates with the Lord in the double perception of simultaneously separation and meeting. The pure devotee is not for a moment unengaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Execution of the Lord's service is the main occupation of the pure devotee. Uddhava's separation from the Lord was unbearable, and therefore he started for Bhadarikashram in obedience to the Lord's order, because the order of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. As long as one is engaged in the execution of the order of the Lord, there is no factual separation from him. Very nice purport there by Srila Prabhupada. Here we see that Uddhava is speaking to Vidura, and Uddhava is proceeding to Bhadarikashram. Thank you. This is actually the second time that Uddhava is going to Bhadarikashram. Because originally he was sent to Bhadarikashram by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava when he was in Dwarka. And he didn't want Uddhava to undergo the difficulty of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He sent him to Bhadarikashram. Uddhava started heading in that direction, but due to great separation from Krishna, he turned back and followed Krishna. He had heard that he was going to Prabhasa Kshetra. And he followed him there. And then, of course, Krishna instructed Uddhava again. At that time, of course, Maitreya also happened upon the scene. And therefore, Krishna spoke principally to Uddhava, but there were instructions there that Maitreya heard. And of course, Krishna's plan was that is that just going on?
No, but it was all this was all the volume.
Krishna understood that he would also like to give some instructions for consoling Vidura. He inspired Maitreya. Maitreya appeared there, and later Maitreya would go and speak to Vidura. So, you know, Krishna is looking after all of his devotees. He's thinking about them as they're thinking of him, which is sort of the essence of this purport here. And so, After Krishna instructed Uddhava and Maitreya and they left, then there was the disappearance pastime of Krishna, which became Uddhava was aware of. So now, of course, as previously instructed, he's following this instruction to go to Padarikashram. One may question that, you know, Uddhava is a pure devotee, and yet, in one sense, you know, we may say, well, he disobeyed the order of the Lord because he was asked to go to Padarikashram originally, and he turned back and came back to Krishna. But he understood that it was because of his intense feelings of separation, as that of love, loving service. And he understood that Krishna would reciprocate with that. So that is because this purport, of course, is describing that as long as one is engaged in the execution of the order of the Lord, there's no factual separation from him. So the, you know, the mood of this purport is trying to understand this principle of separation. Actually, as Prabhupada points out, there is no factual separation from the Lord. And those who engage in the service of the Lord, they can realize that. Those who are under the influence of the material energy engaged in their material senses, they can't perceive that Krishna is anywhere, let alone that there is some separation. So, you know, it's a very elevated topic, a little bit beyond my sphere of understanding. So I thought I'd let Prabhupada do the speaking, and I'm just going to read some excerpts from the Krishna book, chapters 46 through to 47. So I've sort of condensed some of the main parts of those pastimes. Hopefully we can get through them. So these pastimes here centered around where Uddhava was sent by Krishna to console the gopis and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and all the residents of Vrindavan, who are also feeling the, you know, they're in distress through separation from Krishna. So it's said just after the killing of Kamsa in Mathura, Krishna had gone to Mathura, and then he had gone to his teachers, Gargamuni, I think it was. Sandipanimuni, yeah. And he got instruction in the Vedas and took Brahman initiation, sacred thread. And at this time, he required Uddhava to pass this message to the gopis. So this chapter deals with this principle of meeting and separation from Krishna. So Prabhupada explains it very nicely. Of course, this is in the Krishna book, which has, you know, been distributed on the books in, on the street since about 1969 or 70 or something like that. So it's meant for, you know, it gives us a good glimpse, a good understanding of this principle, without sort of delving, you know, beyond their depths. And that's because we're hearing it through Srila Prabhupada. Without that, we would definitely be out of our depths. And a very, very elevated thing would be way beyond our ability to taste or to understand. So here, when Nanda Maharaj returned to Vrindavan without Krishna and Balaram, he was accompanied only by the cowherd boys and men. It was certainly a very pathetic scene for the gopis, Mother Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, and all the other residents of Vrindavan. Many devotees have tried to make adjustments to Krishna's being away from Vrindavan because, according to expert opinion, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, never goes even a step out of Vrindavan. He always remains there. The explanation of expert devotees is that Krishna was not actually absent from Vrindavan. He came back with Nanda Maharaj as promised. When Krishna was starting from Mathura on the chariot driven by Akrura and the gopis were blocking the way, Krishna assured them that he was coming back just after finishing his business in Mathura. He told them not to be overwhelmed and in this way pacify them. But when he failed to come back with Nanda Maharaj, it appeared that he either cheated them or could not keep his promise. Expert devotees, however, have decided that Krishna was neither a cheater nor a breaker of promises. Krishna, in his original identity, returned with Nanda Maharaj and stayed with the gopis and Mother Yashoda in his bhava expansion. So through these feelings of love and separation, Krishna was actually present there. That's called his bhava expansion. I'm a bit thirsty this morning. So Krishna, he remained in Vrindavan in his bhava expansion. Krishna and Balaram remained in Mathura, not in their original forms, but in their expansions as Vasudev and Sankarsan. The real Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan in their bhava manifestations, whereas in Mathura, they appeared in their prabhava and vaibhava expansions. This is the expert opinion of advanced devotees of Krishna. Externally, however, they were absent from Vrindavan. So now, when Nanda Maharaj was preparing to return to Vrindavan, there was a discussion with Krishna, and there was a mutual agreement that Krishna would stay in Mathura, because this is his Vasudeva form. For various reasons, of course, Vasudeva and Devaki were his natural parents, and they wanted to give him the sacred thread ceremony and give him a good education, which they did. And of course, another consideration was that so many armies were wanting to attack Mathura, and gradually they would attack Mathura and go on to Vrindavan. Krishna didn't want his associates in Vrindavan disturbed, so he decided to remain in Mathura for those various reasons. But of course, as we see as this pastime unfolds, that there's also a reason increasing the loving sentiments of the Brajabasis through that mood of separation. So although the inhabitants of Vrindavan felt separation from Krishna, the resulting ecstasy, bhava, caused them to perceive that Krishna was always present with them by his leela or pastimes. Since Krishna had departed from Vrindavan and gone to Mathura, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Srimati Radharani, the gopis and the cowherd boys were simply thinking of Krishna at every step. They were thinking, here Krishna was playing in this way. Here Krishna was blowing his flute. Krishna was joking with us in this way, and Krishna was embracing us like this. This is called Leela Smarana, and it is the process of association with Krishna most recommended by great devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he was at Puri, enjoyed Leela Smarana, association with Krishna. So Krishna himself, as Lord Chaitanya, he also enjoys this Leela Smarana. Those in the most exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a great transcendental literary work entitled Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is full with Krishna's pastimes, Exalted devotees can remain absorbed in Krishna thought by reading such books. So there Srila Prabhupada is hinting, everything is given by Prabhupada, that as devotees make significant advance, you know, say exalted devotees, they can read those pastimes, Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is the Astakaliya Leela pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, their eternal eightfold pastimes. But Prabhupada goes on for exalted devotees and devotees in general, how they can also enter into this. He says, any book of Krishna Leela, even this book, Krishna, which is what we're reading there, or our teachings of Lord Chaitanya, is actually solace for devotees feeling separation from Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is actually placing this process from the very beginning, according to one's capacity, of course, you know, there for the devotees to pursue this path, ultimately to attain complete perfection. The Krishna Balaram did not return to Vrindavan can be adjusted as follows. They did not break their promise to return to Vrindavan, nor were they absent, but their presence was necessary in Mathura, so therefore he sums that up. In the meantime, Uddhava, a cousin brother of Krishna, came to see Krishna from Dwarka. So, skipping ahead a little bit here. Krishna wanted to send him to Vrindavan with a message to the residents to pacify their deep feelings of separation, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 4.11, Yeyita mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna is very responsive. He responds in proportion to the devotee's advancement in devotional service. Thus, as the gopis were thinking of Krishna in separation 24 hours a day, so Krishna was always thinking of the gopis, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the other residents of Vrindavan. Although he appeared to be away from them, he could understand how they were transcendentally aggrieved, and so he immediately wanted to send Uddhava to give them a message of solace. Krishna, being his very loving friend, wanted to send him to Vrindavan just to study the highly elevated ecstatic devotional service practice there. Even if one is highly elevated in material education and is even the disciple of Brihaspati, he still has to learn from the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan how to love Krishna to the highest degree. That's a very interesting point there, because, you know, generally, materially, you know, people can't work out what is love. You know, do you have to work on it and make it happen? Is there love at first sight? You know, I mean, you know, I mean, there's we're talking about servant master, friend friend, you know, children parents, you know, husband wife. They're all trying to understand this principle of love, and it's very difficult to understand. Here, you know, in the Krishna book, we learn that love actually has to be learnt. Some people may say, yes, we fell in love at first sight. Yes, but what was the quality of that love at the beginning? Yeah. It then has to be developed into a very high quality. That has to be learned. It's not that just whatever was there in the beginning, when there's some infatuation and what have you, that is everything. Therefore, you see sometimes people get married and then, you know, there is some, you know, attraction, they're enjoying, and all of a sudden when they get married, they have to work together. But one person's desires are overriding another's. And then they think, this person is just completely ignoring my very essence of my being. And the other person's thinking, this person's ignoring the essence of my being, like this. So friendships, you know, husband and wife, like this, they actually have to learn how to love. And that of course, means that giving up that desire for personal sense gratification, and then actually, you know, the process of loving exchanges. There's so much information in the Vedic scriptures, you know, especially in these Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna wanted Uddhava, even though he was so exalted and he loved Krishna, still he had to learn like that. Some people think, yes, I love God, just like, you know, we have so many wars going on in the war world. They all love God.
Yes, yes, there may be some love from God there. But what is the quality of that? You know, even the most elevated person, even a person who does love God, still you have to learn. And to come to the highest perfection up to the gopis, that is, therefore Krishna sent Uddhava to actually associate with these gopis. It was Krishna's special favour to Uddhava to send him to Vrindavan with a message for the residents there, which is, was meant to pacify them. Krishna is also named Hari, which means one who takes away all distress from the surrendered souls. Lord Chaitanya states that there cannot be at any time be a worship as exalted as the real, as that realized by the gopis. Being very anxious about the gopis' grief, Krishna talked with Uddhava and politely requested him to go to Vrindavan. Shaking Uddhava's hand with his own hands, he said, "My dear, gentle friend, please go immediately to Vrindavan and try to pacify my father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and the gopis. They are grief-stricken as if suffering from great ailments. Go and give them a message. I hope their ailment will be partially relieved. The gopis are always absorbed in thoughts of me. They have dedicated body, desire, life and soul to me. I am anxious not only for the gopis, but for anyone who sacrifices society, friendship, love and personal comforts for me. It is my duty to protect such exalted devotees. The gopis are the most dear." So this is also very nice because here we're hearing how Krishna considers it his duty, you know, to protect his devotees from distress, or he's called Hari. But Prabhupada mentions that for anyone, you know, he is trying to sacrifice their life, you know. And in another part of this Krishna book, I think it's earlier on, Krishna, Prabhupada specifically mentions the preachers, you know, that preaching Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga is extremely difficult. And one who does that, as Krishna says in the Gita, Krishna becomes very, very pleased. You know, he considers it his duty to look after those persons. So, again, he places these very exalted topics, you know, in our lap, practically. You know, so this is the glory of Prabhupada. So, they always think of... So, and, of course, in this purport we're reading, you know, Prabhupada is saying that, you know, as it describes here, that the Lord's, Uddhava started for Badarika Ashram in obedience to the Lord's order. Because the Lord, the order of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. As long as one is engaged in the execution of the order of the Lord, there is no factual separation from him. So as one is trying to execute that order of the Lord and always meditating on Krishna by serving him, there's no separation because Krishna is always thinking of that person. You know, whether one is preaching or, you know, doing temple worship or cooking or, you know, managing or, you know, making flower gardens or sweeping or, you know, whatever. If one is fixed in thinking of Krishna and doing some humble service, Krishna is always, you know, thinking of that person. And therefore there's no separation. You know? Which is, you know, why we're reading this pastime. Yeah. So, they always think of me in such a way that they remain overwhelmed and almost dead in anxiety due to separation from me. They are keeping alive simply by thinking that I am returning to them very soon. So requested by Lord Krishna, Uddhava immediately left on his chariot and carried the message to Gokul. So then he meets up with Nanda and Yashoda. So I'm perceiving Nanda and Yashoda. He says that Nanda is described here while describing the uncommon activities of Krishna before Uddhava. Nanda Maharaj gradually became overwhelmed and could no longer speak. As for Mother Yashoda, she sat by the side of her husband and heard the pastimes of Krishna without speaking. She simply cried incessantly and milk poured from her breasts. When Uddhava saw Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda so extraordinarily overwhelmed with thoughts of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when he experienced the extraordinary affection for him, he also became overwhelmed and spoke as follows. My dear Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you are the most respectable among human beings because no one but you can meditate in such transcendental ecstasy. Now here Uddhava, due to his great expertise, he consoles them by describing philosophically how there is no real possibility to actually be separated from Krishna. He says, Balaram and Krishna are the original personalities of Godhead from whom the cosmic manifestation emanates. They are chief among all personalities. Each of them is both the material and the efficient cause of this material creation. Material nature is conducted by the Purusha incarnations who all act under Krishna and Balaram. By their partial representation, they enter the hearts of all living entities. They are the source of all knowledge and all forgetfulness also. If at the time of death a person can fix his pure mind upon Krishna even for a moment, after giving up his material body, he becomes eligible to appear in his original spiritual body. Just as the sun rises with all illumination, passing from his life in this way, he immediately enters into the spiritual kingdom, Vaikuntha. So then Prabhupada adds his little purport here in the Krishna book to bring it back to us, you know, why we're always trying to think of Krishna, you know, in separation. He said, this is the result of Krishna conscious practice. If we practice Krishna consciousness in the present body while in a healthy condition and in good mind, simply by chanting the holy Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, we will have every possibility of fixing the mind upon Krishna at the time of death. If we do this, then our lives become successful without any doubt. But if we keep our minds always absorbed in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, then naturally at the time of death we shall think of such activities and again be forced to enter material conditioned bodies to suffer the threefold miseries of material existence. Therefore, to remain always absorbed in Krishna consciousness was the standard of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is a very nice quote by Srila Prabhupada. If we can simply follow in their footsteps, even to a minute proportion, our lives will surely become successful and we shall enter the spiritual kingdom by Kunta. Because this is why we're also hearing these pastimes of Uddhava. He's also relishing, always thinking of Krishna, as Prabhupada says here. And he says, a pure devotee of the Lord, of the standard of Uddhava, constantly associates with the Lord in the double perception of simultaneously separation and meeting. Always associating, always thinking of Krishna. We can't imitate the Brajavasis. We can't imitate Uddhava, but we don't have to. But Prabhupada says here, if we can follow in their footsteps even to a minute proportion, our lives will surely become successful and we shall enter the spiritual kingdom by Kunta. And above, he describes how we do it. We chant Hare Krishna. We just chant Hare Krishna, we have kirtan, we eat Krishna prasad, you know, we associate with each other, we see the deities like this. Very, very easy. In this way, we actually, according to the acharyas, we are following in the footsteps of the gopis. Following in the footsteps of the gopis doesn't mean imitating the gopis. It means following that process that Prabhupada gives us. That process that Prabhupada gives us, of course, ultimately, in the beginning, it may be just by regulative principles, but because we're always thinking of Krishna, we become purified, and then it becomes somewhat spontaneous. And then that spontaneous devotional service gradually becomes more and more purified, where a devotee actually cannot, as it says here, again in the Purport, it says, the pure devotee is not for a moment unengaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. So when one becomes a pure devotee, they're always engaged. Not for a moment are they unengaged. Execution of the Lord's service is the main occupation of the pure devotee. So, I've got a few more pages here. We're not going to get through because I have to finish at 8:30. I've already gone over my time. But so I'll skip three pages and I'll just summarise. What's that? Do we finish? Is that sure? I'll continue. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay. So Uddhava was standing near and he heard Radharani talking in this way. As she had become almost mad for Krishna. So at this point we take up where Uddhava has spent the night with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. And in the morning, the gopis have got up for Mangalari and they've, you know, performed the various duties. And then they've seen Uddhava and they've come to Uddhava and they've seen him looking so much beautiful, just like Krishna, because he looked almost exactly like Krishna because they're like cousin brothers. And they understood, oh, this is very auspicious. He must have some nice information about Krishna. And so they took him into a secluded place where they wouldn't be disturbed and they started to discuss about Krishna. Of course, during that time, Radharani, while thinking of Krishna, you know, went into the ecstasy of madness talking to a bumblebee and just so overwhelmed with separation. So, you know, we take up from after that where Krishna, Uddhava has just observed all of this and he can't believe his eyes. So Uddhava was standing near and he heard Radharani talking in this way. As if she'd become almost mad for Krishna. He was exceedingly surprised at how the gopis were accustomed to think of Krishna constantly in that topmost ecstasy of Mahabhava love. He had brought a message in writing from Krishna. And now he wanted to present it before the gopis just to pacify them. He said, "My dear gopis, your mission," so this is a quote, "my dear gopis, your mission of human life is now successful. You are all wonderful devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you are eligible to be worshipped by all kinds of people. You are worshipable throughout the three worlds because your minds are wonderfully absorbed in the thought of Vasudeva Krishna. He is the goal of all pious activities and ritualistic performances, such as giving charity, rigidly following the austerity of vows, undergoing severe penances and igniting the fire of sacrifice. He is the purpose behind chanting different mantras, reading the Vedas, controlling the senses and concentrating the mind in meditation." Unquote. So Srila Prabhupada describes how this is a similar instruction or message as the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, the last instruction that one should give up all other processes and surrender unto Krishna. And as Prabhupada says, the Bhagavad Gita also says that this surrendering process is completed by a sincere person after executing processes of self-realization in wisdom and austerity for many births. Since the perfection of such austerity was completely manifested in the lives of the gopis, Uddhava was fully satisfied upon seeing their transcendental position. So he goes on to glorify them. "My dear gopis, the mentality you have developed in relationship with Krishna is very, very difficult to attain, even for great sages and saintly persons.
You have attained the highest perfectional stage of life. It is a great boon for you that you have fixed your minds upon Krishna and have decided to have Krishna only, giving up your families, homes, relatives, husbands, and children for the sake of the Supreme Personality. Because your minds are now fully absorbed in Krishna, the Supreme Soul, universal love has automatically developed in you. I think myself very fortunate that I've been very favored by your grace to see you in this situation. When Uddhava said that he had a message from Krishna, the gopis were more interested in hearing the message than in hearing about their exalted position. They did not very much like being praised for their high position. They showed their anxiety to hear the message Uddhava had brought from Krishna. It's very interesting that they just weren't interested at all. You know, you can get a slight sense, you know, we have a little understanding how intensely they're absorbed in their service of Krishna. That, you know, what is this glorification? You're wasting time, you know, we're not interested. What did Krishna say? Uddhava said, "My dear gopis, I am especially deputed to carry this message to you who are such great and gentle devotees. Krishna has specifically sent me to you because I am his most confidential servitor. These are the words of the Personality of Godhead." Quote, "My dear gopis." So Krishna, Uddhava is not actually, he didn't just give them the letter. He is speaking the letter to them. Because when Krishna wrote the letter, he was so overwhelmed in love for the residents of the gopis that he almost couldn't write. So, and Uddhava also, he wanted to make sure that the message is not just suitable for the gopis, but he presented in such a way that we could understand even today. So, because it was such an important message. "My dear gopis, my dear friends, please know that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, at any place, or under any circumstances, because I am all pervading. Transcendental knowledge of the Absolute Truth is no longer necessary for you. You are accustomed to loving me from the very beginning of your lives. Knowledge of the Absolute Truth is specifically required for persons who want liberation from material existence. But one who has attained love for Krishna is already on the platform of liberation." The gopis did not actually feel any pangs of material existence, but they felt the separation of Krishna. Krishna therefore said, "My dear gopis, to increase your super excellent love for me, I have purposely separated myself from you so that you may be in constant meditation on me." So, Prabhupada mentions here that the gopis, they're actually in the perfectional stage of meditation. Constantly meditating on Krishna. But this is not known to the various yogis and jnanis. Krishna knew very well the psychology of women. When a woman's beloved is away, she thinks of him more in meditation than when he is present before her. Krishna wanted to teach through the behavior of the gopis that one who is constantly in trance like the gopis surely attains his lotus feet. So Krishna's increasing the love of the gopis, even though they're on the topmost platform, he's increasing that transcendental loving exchange, becoming more and more intense and ecstatic, and he's wanting to teach all of us, the whole universe, through the behavior of the gopis, that if we constantly engage ourselves in trance, always thinking of Krishna through separation or meeting, then one will definitely attain his lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya taught people in general the method of Vipralamba Seva, which is the method of rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the feeling of separation.
So this is, you know, the process which is coming down through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is explained nicely here. The six Goswamis also taught worship of Krishna in the feeling of the gopis in separation. The prayers composed by Srinivasacharya about the Goswami explain these matters very clearly. Srinivasacharya said that the Goswamis were always absorbed in the ocean of transcendental feelings in the mood of the gopis. When they lived in Vrindavan, they were searching for Krishna, crying, "Where are you, Krishna? O gopis, where are you? Where are you, Srimati Radharani?" They never said, "We have now seen Radha and Krishna, and therefore our mission is fulfilled." Their mission always remained unfulfilled. They never met Radha and Krishna. Krishna reminded the gopis that at the time of the Rasa dance, those gopis who could not join him for the Rasa Leela gave up their bodies simply by thinking of him. So that's an example to prove his point. Absorption in Krishna consciousness by feeling separation is thus the quickest method for attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna. By the personal statement of Krishna, the gopis were convinced about the strength of feelings of separation. They were actually experiencing the supernatural method of Krishna worship and were very much relieved by understanding that Krishna was not away from them, but was always with them. So just to conclude, Uddhava advised the gopis that they could be saved from the fire of separation by closing their eyes and meditating on the activities of Krishna from the very beginning of their association with him. From the outside, the gopis could visualize all the pastimes of Krishna by hearing the descriptions of Uddhava, and from within, they could remember those pastimes. From the instructions of Uddhava, the gopis could understand that Krishna was not separate from them. As they were constantly thinking of Krishna, Krishna was also thinking of them constantly at Madhura. It is said by Srinivasacharya that the six Goswamis were always merged in thoughts of the activities of the gopis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also recommended the gopis' method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as super excellent. Srila Sukadeva Goswami has also recommended that anyone hears from the right source about the dealings of the gopis with Krishna and who follows the instructions laid down by the previous acharyas will be elevated to the topmost position of devotional service and be able to give up the lust of material enjoyment. Let's leave it there. So here, just it's because in this purport it describes these principles of thinking of Krishna and separation and meeting, I thought better we hear from Srila Prabhupada. So very nicely described in these chapters of the Krishna book, 46 and 47 chapter. So let's leave it there if anyone has any questions on that. Good.
Thank you for the question.
How do I deal with apathy towards spiritual life? Well, in those prayers by Srinivasacharya, explaining the activities of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, it describes, you know, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had no material facility whatsoever. They accepted loincloths. They had, you know, nothing material that was going to keep them enthusiastic. But they're always absorbed in this mood of the gopis. They were following, you know, in their mood to always think of Krishna. When you actually think of Krishna, it's very easy to become enthusiastic. It similarly describes that, you know, they're always meek and humble, absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Sometimes that's a very common question people also ask, how do I be humble? If you think of Krishna properly, you know, you're understanding how he is everything. He's manifested everything so wonderfully. the whole material creation, the whole spiritual creation, our very existence, the existence of every living entity. And yet he maintains his own separate identity, enjoying wonderful eternal spirit. If you just understand even just a little bit of Krishna's glories, it's sort of hard to get puffed up. What have I done? And when we understand that that person who is so unlimitedly glorious, if I think of him, he'll think of me. You know, that's the, you should be able to generate a fair amount of enthusiasm with that. You know? So really the answer is think of Krishna. And therefore, you know, Prabhupada gives us the regular treatment. But we can't think of Krishna. And thinking of Krishna, Shravanam Kirtanam, in the beginning, Shravanam is particularly important, hearing. Especially, you know, especially in the beginning, hearing is very, very important, to hear from the devotees. Then as we hear, we may want to, you know, chant. We want to hear and chant. By the hearing and chanting process, when it's done really well, nicely, attentively, you know, constantly, daily, the ability to think of Krishna gradually comes. But that that remembrance, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam, Smaranam, Prabhupada describes, it's very elevated. Not that we just sit down and think of Krishna. Several times in this you know, description here, Prabhupada has described, we follow in the footsteps of the gopis, but we follow through the instructions of the acharyas. We don't imitate them. Oh yeah, I can think of Krishna all day long. For us, we follow the footsteps, we follow the instructions of the acharyas, that will lead us to the ability to think of Krishna. Generally, we're in the modes of passion and ignorance. You know, we're over millions of lifetimes. And even as devotees, you know, the influence of those modes can, you know, disturb. You know, we have to gradually come to this sattvic mode. Prabhupada says you can't actually become a Vaishnava, you know, a pure devotee, unless you become a Brahmana. We discussed this the other day. Brahmana means you situate yourself, not necessarily you necessarily take second initiation, it means you're situated, fixed up in Sattva-guna. You know, the modes of passion, ignorance, lust, greed, anger, envy, which are in the mind. How can you think of Krishna when all those things are there? Krishna, Arjuna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is the Supreme Pure. How do you approach the Supreme Pure unless you are pure? So, the process, the regulative principles of the devotional service, chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, following the four regulative principles, associating with devotees, you know, getting up for Mangalarti, you know, avoiding the 10 offences, these activities bring us to the sattvic position where our mind and senses are controlled, because we're in a regulated way, we're forced to think of Krishna. We can't do it automatically, but it literally pins us in. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we're always thinking of Krishna, because the regular principles have fixed us in that. When that becomes your constant practice, it becomes second nature. When it becomes second nature, it becomes your very character and the very nature of your heart. Then thinking of Krishna may become a little bit more spontaneous like that. And then, you know, that thinking of Krishna, as Prabhupada says, you know, we can do it by reading the Krishna book, by reading the Srimad book. He says any of these books, Prabhupada's books, you read any of Prabhupada's books, you know, it just immerses you. And Prabhupada mentions in several places that, you know, pure devotees, they don't distinguish. You know, that, you know, I'm reading Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishwanath Chakravarti, the core, and you're reading, you know, the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. A pure devotee doesn't distinguish at all. You know, there's any of Prabhupada's books, you know, is sufficient to just, they just want to think of Krishna in any way possible. So, if we absorb ourselves in Prabhupada's books, follow the various regulative principles, it will give us the ability to think of Krishna, And if we think of Krishna, it maintains our enthusiasm, our good qualities, our humility, and in this way, ultimately, as Prabhupada said in this passage, if we do that through the course of our whole life, even if you, just to the minutest degree, you follow the example of the gopis and Uddhava, you'll be successful. You'll think of, Prabhupada says, if you think of Krishna just for a moment at the time of death, just for a moment, it'll take you back to Godhead. So he's really, he's not asking us to, imitate exalted devotees at all. It's just somehow or another, follow the regular principles and gradually try to, mould your life in such a way you can think of Krishna. And if you think of Krishna for just a moment at the time of death, you'll go back to Krishna. Yeah. All right. I'm going to leave it there. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.